Daniel chapter number 3. I'm going to be preaching on the subject, How Big Is Your God? Daniel chapter number 3. As I told you the other day when I first came here, I'm not profound and I'm not going to tell you anything that you don't know. I'm just a reminder. And we're just going to read some verses in Daniel and take our text from there and be preaching on the subject, How Big Is Your God? Daniel chapter number 3. And I'm going to start in verse 1, and we're just going to be thumbing through the Bible. Of course, most of you know the Bible story pretty well. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And y'all know what's going on. They're going to blow the trumpet and people are to bow. And from this point on, he blows the trumpet and everybody bows except 3 Hebrew children. Yeah. All the other Hebrews have bowed. And you know what those 3 Hebrew boys are telling all those other Hebrews are to bow in, right? You bunch of hypocrites. Yeah. Amen. I want to pick back up in verse 15. And this is the exchange between Nebuchadnezzar and the 3 Hebrew children. Now, if you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I've made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image that thou hast set up. Look in verse 25. Y'all know the story. They've not bowed, and they've been thrown into the fiery furnace. He answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was the hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. And then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. And therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their house shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sword. America is obsessed with big things. And I hope that you know that at this point. I was reading the other day, I heard when I was preparing for this message, that when Andrew Jones was the center fielder for the Atlanta Braves, that he had a house that was over 20,000 square feet in size. And that's about 10 times the size of my house, and it's probably about 10 times the size of your house as well. It's amazing how big things are in our society today. We just like bigger, and we think bigger is better, and I'm sure that in some cases that is true. But I'll tell you one thing that you're going to have if you're going to make it through this life, is you're going to have a big God. I know that for many of you that the thrust of Daniel chapter number 3 is the story of the fate of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in God. But that is really not the main emphasis that is found in Daniel chapter number 3. It's not Shadrach, Meshach's faith in God. It's the God of the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And there's a contest that is being formed here in Daniel chapter 3 between the God of gold and the God of glory. And I want to tell you that one God's going to be shown that He's the bigger God. One God's going to be shown that that's the God that you're going to need when you face the fire and when I face the fire. And so let's get right into the Word of God for a little while and let's begin to study this passage of Scripture. I want you to just by way of getting the story told, we need to compare the circumstances of the two. When you begin to study the Bible here, you begin to understand that both gods are on the same playing field. When you study the Bible, you understand that both dwell in the same surroundings. Both gods appear in Babylon. Both gods appear at the same place at the same time. Actually, Babylon was the hometown of the God of gold. Babylon, as I understand from the scholars, is the hometown, is the original scene of the first sin, and that it is the original seat of Satan. Many of you know that the Antichrist was set his home up in Babylon. But we are reminded in this that there are many gods who are in competition with the true God. Whether it be your boat, whether it be your golf cart, whether it be your credit card, whether it be your looks, whether it be whatever it is, that there are many gods that are in competition with the true God, even on our planet while we speak. The Bible would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5, for though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there be gods many and lords many. And so, ladies and gentlemen, there are many gods that are in competition with the true God, but there's only one God that's going to come out in the competition, and there's only one God that's going to be able to deliver you when the fire comes. Both dealt with the same subjects. Both gods are trying to exert influence on three Hebrew children and on Nebuchadnezzar. The God of gold is attempting to exert influence on the three Hebrew boys through the power of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is trying to force these people as their ruler to bow to the God of gold and worship Him. And then the God of glory is attempting to influence Nebuchadnezzar through the persecution of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You may be here in the fire tonight, and you may be saved, and you may be in the fiery furnace saying, why is God putting me here? Well, I don't know why, but I can tell you this. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in the fire, that's when Nebuchadnezzar seen Jesus. And so I don't know what might be going on in your life, but it may be just God's way of showing Jesus to the people that needs to see Him that are surrounding you. And then both gods desired the same submission. Both gods wanted to be worshipped. Both gods wanted to be served. Both gods wanted to be trusted. Both gods wanted to be worshipped. But only one God is big enough when it's all said and done. Now that leads me to another thought. We want to contrast the characteristics of the two. Now you can't contrast gods. And the reason, you may be able to contrast gods, but you can't compare gods. And here's why. Because besides God, there is no comparison. And so there's no way you can compare, but there is a way you can contrast them. God said of Himself in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 18, to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto Him? He says in chapter 43 and verse 10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants whom I'm chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall they be after me. And then again he would say in chapter 44 and verse 6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and His Redeemer, the Lord in hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, you can't compare God with no other God, but you can contrast. God's not like other gods. First of all, the God of gold was limited. The Bible says in verse 1, gives the dimensions of the God of gold. It was to tell us that He's approximately 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. And do you know why they wrote those dimensions? It's because that's as big as He's ever going to be. That's as big as the boy's ever going to get. And so the writer puts it in there to let you know that there's a limited God. It tells us He's limited by space and time. No doubt He's already been dissolved. Nobody can find the God of gold anymore. No doubt He's done been corroded and nobody can find Him. But I know where the God of glory is tonight. He's still alive and well. He's limited by the material world and by the physical world. As a matter of fact, this God of gold was made by Nebuchadnezzar. But the God of glory is different, friend. Where the God of gold is limited, the God of glory is limitless. There's no dimensions on Him. There's no size.
eyes on Him. He spans the universe. He's bigger than any God that's ever been. I read this quote about God the other day. I'd like to read it to you. For in glory, He's incomprehensible. In greatness, unfathomable. In height, inconceivable. In power, incomparable. In wisdom, unrivaled. In goodness, immeasurable. In kindness, unutterable. Can I tell you what amazes me about God tonight? One thing is God cannot be made. That God cannot be made. You know, we talk about this all the time. Nebuchadnezzar made his God, but our God made us. You know, it's called the eternality of God. When Jason was preaching this morning, reminding me of what Genesis chapter 1 said, in the beginning God. And that meant that God was before the beginning. That way God began the beginning. And the only way He could do that was to be before the beginning began. You think on that a minute. My God is not made by me, but I am made by Him. The psalmist said in chapter 100 and verse 3, he says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us and we not ourselves. And since God began the beginning, because He was before the beginning began, that means that you cannot anticipate God, that God always makes the first move. And since God was before the beginning, since He began the beginning when it began, that means nothing has ever occurred to God, and that there's nothing standing in God's way, and God rather than His hand saying, 'Man, I never seen that coming.'" I mean, folks, He made it this way. He was in His divine plan. I tell you, God's the essential ingredient to everything. God can take the place of anything, but nothing can take the place of God. Another man said about God, God is over all things, under all things, outside all things, within, but not enclosed, without, but not excluded, above, but not raised up, and below, and not depressed. Ladies and gentlemen, our God cannot be made. But our God cannot be melted. Now you think about what's going on here in the text. The story is not really about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The story is about the contest between the two gods. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they don't bow. And they don't bend. Most of y'all know the rest of the story. They don't burn. But before that time, they're thrown into the fiery furnace. And so Nebuchadnezzar has the fiery furnace heated up several times hotter than it's normally heated up. And then some of those soldiers take Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they throw those men into the fire. And you think about what's going on here. And the men who thrown Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, the heat is so bad that they die. Yeah. Now you know, in our story, our God's in the fire. Why didn't their God come? Most of y'all know the story. You put extreme heat to gold, and it'll melt. Amen. And so the God of gold can melt, but the God of glory cannot melt. And where one God won't come to the aid of the other and won't stand outside the furnace, our God not only goes to the furnace, but He goes inside the furnace. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you, God can take the heat. He took the heat of temptation of what Brother Rick has been preaching about. And the little phrase, "and Satan departed for a season," is the ultimate flag of defeat. And for 3.5 years, he took the heat of persecution time and time again. The religious leader persecuted Him. But even Pilate would say, "I find no fault in Him." And then on Mount Calvary, the wrath of God was poured out on the body of the Son of God so great that Jesus said, "I thirst." But He said, "It is finished, and into thy hands I commend thy spirit." He can take the heat for you and I. I love the things that God can't do. But it also tells us what God can do. God can move. Nebuchadnezzar moved his God to the plain of Dura. But my God moved Nebuchadnezzar. Our God moved into the fire. Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is getting tied up, and they don't know if they're going to die or not. Either way, it's fine with them. Amen. And they get thrown off in that fire with their hands bound together, and they hit the fire, and they look up, and there's the Son of God. And Jesus walks over to them. I don't know if it says this in the Bible, but I when I study the Bible, I like to try to think of things the way you and I would think of things. And I can just see Jesus as he's strolling through the fire and looks at them and says, fellas, never let them see you sweat. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you that God is moving here. And I want to tell you the great thing about this is I found as a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come out of the furnace, there's four in there, three come out. Even you and I can figure that out. Four minus three equals one. Where's the one? He's still in that furnace waiting on you. God is where he was. You understand that? That God is where he was. He's there waiting for you and I. He'll stay in the fire waiting for the day that you get fired up. God can. He can move. God has might. I've already told you that the three men who threw the men who threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, they died. But can I tell you why their God didn't save them? It's because their God can't save them. He has no power. But my God can. He can move into the fire and save people from the fire. I was thinking about this when I was preparing. You know what happened when he brought those little boys out of the fire? He saved them from the experience of the fire. I like that song the primitives used to sing. But I escaped that awful place when Jesus saved my soul. And not one hair on my head. When did that place go? And then it goes on to say, the only fire I'll ever feel is the fire burning within my heart. They will not burn. And then Jesus saved them from the effects of the fire. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that it was that they had no singed hair and that they had no smell of smoke on them. It was if they had never been in the fire. Let me just say this and chase a rabbit, because I just feel like I need to. You know, everybody always wonders what they're going to do when they get to heaven. I had one guy in my church preaching one day, and I understand what he meant. But as I've been going back through the book of Romans again, and I kind of think it's a little off base. He said, man, when I get to heaven, I'm going to come before God, and I'm just going to plead mercy. And I began studying the book of Romans again, and I began to understand, when I get to heaven and I stand before God, I'm pleading not guilty. Why is that, Brother Snyder? I've already told you I've got a powerful God. It's called justification. You know what justification is? It means that in the eyes of God, it's as if you've never been in the fire. By the way, do you know how I can plead a not guilty? Well, for one reason, the evidence against me has been forgiven. And Jesus has already forgiven that sin. Cast it as far as the east is from the west. Put it in the sea for forgiveness and put a no fishing sign in it. But then if that ain't enough, did you know that Jesus is our defense attorney? The Bible says we have an advocate with the Father. On top of that, did you know Jesus said that all judgment is given unto him by the Father? And so not only is there no evidence, Jesus is my attorney. And not only is he my attorney, but Jesus is my judge. And Jesus is the only one that can bring condemnation on me. But there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. God's got the power. You know, our word power is the word dunamos. It's where we get our word dynamite from. In the words of Jimmy J.J. Walker from Good Times, my Jesus is dynamite. And then Jesus saved them from the enslavement of the world. The only thing that was burnt off them was that Nebuchadnezzar placed on them before they went into the fire. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that the Bible says that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And as the little girl who misquoted the 23rd Psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd and he's all I want. Amen. Then there's the confession after the conquest, and I'll be done. Some trusted in the wrong God and they died because of the fire. So I used to think. You say, that's how they died, Brother Snyder. They died because the heat of the fire overcame them soldiers. And they died of heat. No, they didn't. They died because they had faith in the wrong God. There's three other guys that was cast in the fire and they made it out. What's the difference? The difference is in who they had faith in. You understand, everybody has faith, but only people who place their faith in the Savior have what is called saving faith. You may tell you the difference between me and you tonight. When you and I face the fire, the difference is my God is bigger than your God. The lesson is simple for Nebuchadnezzar. He looked in the fire and recognized Jesus. But he had never seen our Lord before. How could that be? Also, if you thought about the fact that Nebuchadnezzar had to get just as close to the fire as the soldiers did, but yet he lived. It's because our God, who's so big, wants to reveal himself to us in such a way that we'll trust him to save us from the fire. This big God that I'm talking about is bigger than any gods. The Bible says, Jesus said of God in John 17, verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to pick hairs a minute, but I will tell you this. We got a lot of people today who say they believe in God, but if they do not make Jesus Christ their Savior, I'll tell you this much, you can't have God without Jesus Christ. He said, believe in God and Jesus, whom thou hast sent. And only after Nebuchadnezzar recognized God is the only true God, he would say in verse 29. There is no other God that can deliver after this sword. Now, folks, I'll end with this. One day you and I will face the fire, and the difference in deliverance and damnation will be how big is your God. How big is your God? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for today. And Lord, we're just grateful you're a big God. That you save us in the fire and from the fire. And it's as if we've never been there.